Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm excited to share what I have to share with you today, because I think I am every week. But anyway, I've been meditating on some scriptures here for recent weeks, I suppose. And then some understanding came beyond what I've had before. So that always excites me as a teacher, more I grow in my understanding. And then I enjoy, it's my pleasure to pass it on. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to begin reading verse 24 through 26, but then we're going to cover a lot of scriptures before and after for the context of this. It says, verse 24, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Now, until we're saved and we come into the light and the truth, we are captives of Satan. He can manipulate us and torment and influence and such like. And there is a recovery out of the snare of the devil. And really his snare, the way he captures us, is if he can lead us into his sin that brought his downfall, which we looked at that a few weeks ago, the fact that the prince of this world is judged and what that meant, that he exalted himself against God. He wanted the authority of God. He wanted to be like God. And he led Adam and Eve into the very same thing, that you can make the decision what's good and bad, right and wrong. You can be the authority. So that self-exaltation is an act of pride, pride of life, which is the snare whereby he captures us and then we're his prisoner. Now, there is a deliverance out of that, and we're going to talk about that some more then. And also, as a servant of the Lord, which you are, for us, it's for us to help get someone out. Help get someone out. No, we're not the Savior, but we can introduce the Savior and be a help in getting them out through the truth. Now, I want to establish the context for all this, and then I'll get to bringing some understanding about something I believe is going to help many, if not all of us, in dealing with certain issues. We begin at verse 14, says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, to the subverting of the hearers." The word "but's" actually not there. And it does sort of change things a little bit. We are not to strive with people and get into these arguments which would lead to subverting the people. Verse 16, "Shun profane and vain babblings, they'll increase to more godliness." And then also down verse 23, "Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they engender strife." And what all that is saying is, you can't argue someone into the kingdom of God. You can't persuade and try and make someone see the truth. Don't you wish you could? I mean, just sort of like take some duct tape. My wife always finds more uses for duct tape than when there's a book like 101 or 1001 or something. And more still come up. But wouldn't you like to take some duct tape over somebody's mouth and say, I've got something I've got to tell you, and you're not going to talk. But you know that doesn't work. It never happens. And what he's saying here is don't enter into their realm, their world of wanting to argue. Because in argument, then it's like you're striving and struggling who can like overcome the other person. Arguments are not God's way in people coming to the truth. If someone has ears to hear, they may allow you to speak into their life and in their heart, but you're not to argue with them. And there's different words here, foolish, unlearned. In looking those words up, it's talking about like stupid arguments. I mean, it's just dumb. Some things are just dumb to argue about. And we've probably all gotten into arguments with someone already. At least the honest people would admit to that. And sometimes you look back afterwards, after you apologize, and you say, that was really dumb. Why do we argue about that? And sometimes people that are resisting God, they're so much committed to try to resist God, they have to come up with some way to justify themselves, and they come up with these dumb arguments. And what the word saying is, as a servant of the Lord who is ordained to help people, don't go there into the argument realm. So let's look more closely. That arguing over words will actually undermine the hearers, verse 14. Then down here at verse 17, it says their word will eat like a canker, or it's actually in the Greek, it's the only place this occurs in the Bible, where we get the word gangrene. Gangrene, you know, if you have gangrene, it's going to eat away your whole body. So someone has gangrene in their foot, and sometimes diabetics or something, you know, certain situations like that might end up with that. You've got to cut it off because it's going to eat away everything. Maybe it'd be similar if you have a car rust. You've got to cut that out. It'll just keep eating away. And there are things that will just eat away at people, or sometimes the babblings, as it says, just lead to more ungodliness and just eats away at people's faith. Verse 18, he says, who concerning the truth, verse 17, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? Now, I want you to understand something here. Paul did name names at times. The Apostle John named names. Sometimes, and what I really believe is going to become more clear for you, because it was for me this week as I was just getting some revelation here. People struggle with what's walking in love and when do you handle yourself certain other ways? That's a question we all face. And sometimes people think walking in love means you're just mush mouth. You know, you don't ever do anything or say anything. And that's not true either. Yet there are times you need to put the duct tape on your mouth and not say something. But we notice here, he does mention some people because what they were doing is undermining the faith of many of the believers. You don't name names just to smear people. But if someone is bringing out false doctrine and it's undermining believers, especially the baby Christians, that's a serious thing. You know, Jesus says, better to hang a millstone around your neck, be cast in the sea, than to offend a little one. So it's a big issue, but it's an area where confusion can easily come. Now, what these guys were teaching here, he said that they were saying, there's no resurrection. In other words, you die, that's it. You're like an animal, just get buried, and that's the end of it. But no, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if there's no resurrection, our faith is in vain. We're going to live beyond this life. So this was the kind of false doctrine that was being addressed. And in Paul's letters, both to Timothy and to Titus, he exhorted them, it's around 10 different times, to guard the doctrine. Because if wrong doctrine goes out, it just destroys everything. Now, he says, verse 19, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. Or here is the validation and the verification of the foundation of God. One, the Lord knows them that are his. Two, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This is in the very foundation whereby you're able to judge what you're dealing with and where you are. In other words, Christianity is a relationship. The Lord knows those who are his. My wife was telling me just yesterday, she encountered a lady and she thought she knew her. I mean, she just seemed like, I know this lady. And this lady thought the same thing, and they couldn't place anything. The reality was, she didn't really know her, but sure seemed like it, right, Donna? It seemed like I knew you from somewhere. And we probably all had that experience where you feel like you know somebody, only to find you don't know them. They just reminded you of someone, or you saw a face structure like that before. And there's people who they sort of like the Lord's like that to them. They think they know him. He looks real familiar. I mean, it all looks familiar, but they don't really know him. Christianity is a relationship. It's not a religion. It's not just a set of rules and do's and don'ts, but it's a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's at the foundation. Then you also have that those that know him, that name the name of Christ, they're going to be drawing near to God, which is to depart from evil, to depart from sin. So if someone has no conviction of sin, the likelihood is they don't know him either. Because to know him is to draw to him. You want to know him more. There's a love for him. You see his love for you. And you begin drawing near to him. So you're willing to let him convict you that the things that are ungodly and are destructive and separate you from him, they would be departed from. Now he goes on to say, in a great house, there's many vessels, gold, silver, wood, earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man purge himself from these, he'll be a vessel to honor, or purge himself from sin. Prepared for every good work. Flee also, in addition to that, youthful lust. Well, youthful lust would be the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, pride of life. But pursue righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them, something we do together, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You do it as an individual, but we're doing it together too. Again, he says, foolish and unlearned questions, avoid knowing they engender strife. My wife and I are committed to keeping current with everything that's going on, so we follow the news. And there's a particular channel whose call letters are an animal. You know, we'll watch that. It would bring a little bit more of the truth. But somebody in their programming department or management thinks that people like to hear arguing. I can't stand to hear arguing. But for some people, that's like entertainment to them. Hey, let's watch a good fight. I'd rather watch two guys do kickboxing, knock their head off, than listen to a bunch arguing. I mean, at least they're in like a competition here with a goal in mind. Where this arguing thing, you know, argue, through their 10-minute segment, and then say, thank you, it's nice to have you all on. And it's like, yeah, we entertained everybody. And I don't think I've ever seen yet, in the times I've watched things like that, that one or the other changed their point of view. I don't think I've ever seen it. Have you ever seen that? I've never seen that. You just argue, you butt heads, and what happens, people walk away from that feeling better about themselves. Well, I sure told him. I let them have it. And it's like it's a game. For them, it is like a game. And I said, who's the winner? Who's the winner? Just like, you know, when you had the presidential election, they had the debates. And all the elite intellectual eggheads come on and say, who won? What do you mean, who won? It's not a competition with rules and a score being kept. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, the idea of a debate is you state your position. And I guess, I know there's like high schools and colleges have debating teams where there's like the skill of that. But still, if someone has something locked in their head, you're not going to argue it out. It does not come out by argument. If that was the case, Jesus would have said, go into all the world and argue with everyone until they all get saved. So we see repeatedly, don't go into that world or in that realm with people. Now, he says the servant of the Lord must not strive or get into that argument, but be gentle to all, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing them. So we see instruction on how to handle ourselves with a certain type of person. And as we go through here, we see there are two types of people being addressed here. And in identifying who you're talking to is going to determine how you're going to handle yourself. This first type of person here, it says those who oppose themselves. That's one word in the Greek, which the Greek, a lot of times there's like a couple, in this case, I think it was like four different words compounded together, and it makes a new complete meaning when you put them all together. Those that oppose themselves, they have a disposition in their attitude against God and the truth. That's who this is talking about. There are people who are against God, or in their attitude, in their thinking, they're against God, they're resistant to the truth. So thus, what they'll be inclined to do is want to argue about it to prove they're right. You know, we have righteousness as a gift. Jesus made us right with him. I have faith in the work of his blood. I don't have to prove anything. He established our righteousness. But for someone who's in resistance to God, they have to establish their own righteousness, and they're exalting their own opinion, what they think's the way, and then they have to try to convince themselves by convincing other people, so they want to argue. So he's saying here, don't do that. To be gentle, well, let me not get ahead of myself here. These people that oppose themselves have this attitude in their thinking against God. And that positions them where they are taken captive by Satan, or he has control, he can manipulate them. You know, there are people that are manipulated by devils. That's the kind of person that when you're having a trial, they happen to call on a phone and want to lay into you. I mean, y'all have somebody like that enter your life at times. They'll cause problems at the worst opportune time. I mean, you're fighting your fight, and then they show up, and they're dumping some other stuff coming at you. That's demonic activity behind that. Because Satan knows who his pawns are. He knows, and it's sort of like a marionette, you know, on the strings. He can make them jump around and try to mess around with you. Once upon a time, I go on missions trips. You know, I would find out when I come home who's yielded to demons. I'm talking about believers that will say hallelujah when somebody says something, okay? Glory, hallelujah. You can say that and also be captive to the devil in your soul to a certain point. I'm not saying possessed, but the devil can jerk your strings where you're a troublemaker. So I come back home, and then my wife, you know, after she lets me rest a little bit, then begin to inform me that he was causing a problem. You know, when the cat's away, the mouse will play. When the shepherd's away, the devils, they'll try to cause strife or division or whatever. But see, you know, and you could say, you know, react negative. But for me, the good thing was the devil's always identifying himself. So now I can deal with it. Okay, well, there are people here that are opposing the truth in their heart. And they become captive of the devil and can be used. But we read on down, he begins talking about in the last days, but it's not like a new subject. He says, know this also, or this know also. In addition to that, there's perilous times, and he lists all this stuff. I mean, it's bad. Sounds like this was a prophetic word given for 2018. But, you know, I thought that in the year 1998, just the same. It's a prophetic word for 1998. I probably thought it in 1988. This is a prophetic word for... But it is. It is getting worse. And I'll just read through it. Lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers or covenant breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Sometimes when I turn the news channel on and they're showing what demon-influenced people are doing, it blows my mind. You think, you've got to be kidding me. It's that bad? I don't ever remember being like that before. I mean, just the crazy, crazy stuff. Well, we're going to see more of that in the last days. You know, it's just crazy. It's demonic. It's demons. And some of them, my wife said, oh, yeah, a certain person just came. I said, is it the demon, the lady with demons? There's one that we know. I mean, it's like she look all pretty and all that, but there's like demon fire coming out of her eyes. I think, man, that lady's got demons. That's what mute buttons are for. Sometimes when I watch, the mute goes on when certain demon-influenced people open their mouth and want to argue, and then I take it off when somebody who speaks truth's talking. Or sometimes just turn it off altogether. But please understand, we can't just, out of frustration, say, I'll just be ignorant, put my head in the sand, pretend like I don't know anything's going on out there. We can't take that position either. We have to be aware. Just know how much of it you can take before it leads you into sin of anger. Well, it's getting crazy out there. Now, verse 5 says, speaking of people getting like this, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, the context is about resurrection. That was mentioned earlier. It's not just like, well, someone's not Pentecostal or charismatic enough. That's not what it's saying. They're denying resurrection power. Jesus said, I am resurrection. You deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you don't have anything. And that is dangerous, dangerous thinking. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Or what people like that do, they'll use flattery. Oh, you're so beautiful, you're so smart, you're so awesome. And then someone just follows a person right into a trap. It says, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, again, some names were mentioned there, so do these resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs was also. Reprobates where you have no conviction. I mean, there's no conviction anymore. That's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. Now, the word withstood and the word those that oppose themselves are very, very similar and close. And it's almost the same except for a little variation. Those that that oppose themselves have an issue with their thinking or attitude against the truth. Those that withstood, that word in the Greek is speaking of you've taken a position against God. A position, like a fighting position. You know, if someone's going to fight, they take their fighting position, whatever that is. You know, whatever their ability to fight is, they take a position with the intent of attacking you or harming you. Those that oppose themselves are those who have a disposition in their thinking resistant to the truth. What they will do is try to argue to justify themselves and convince themselves, I'm right. And the reason is they don't want to humble themselves to the truth. They don't want to humble themselves to the authority of Jesus Christ, to acknowledge him as Lord of their life. You know, there's a lot of people out there, they want him as Savior, but they don't want him as Lord. And what happens, when you're in that position, you will be taken captive by Satan at his will. Whenever he wants to jerk your chain, he can jerk your chain. You know, for some people, he's jerking their chain with fear, others with pride and arrogance, others with violence, bitterness, what have you. But he can jerk your chain if you're in that state of mind where your disposition of thought is, I'm resisting the truth. But that person is not the same as the other person who's taken a position of opposition where I am against everything of Jesus Christ. I am against your God. And there are a lot of people like that out there, too. Seems like it's more all the time. But it's two different people here. The one you draw away from. the person who's positioned themselves, I am against God, I'm against everything about God, don't you dare open your mouth, or don't you, that person has a position where they're looking to attack. People like that, you withdraw yourself. That's what it's saying here. You turn away, you draw away from them. But there are many people, and they say and do stupid stuff, say ignorant things, could be hurtful, who are influenced by devils, but they're not necessarily to that place where they are against God. They're just always bristling inside, fighting against the truth. It's two different types of people. There are two different reactions. The thing that blessed me so much as I was seeing this week is it brought clarity for me to know how to handle myself. Because sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I flat out don't know. Is this a situation where I need to be aggressive? Is this a situation where I need to cut someone off? Is this a situation where I just need to be gentle and meek? There is not a one-size-fits-all with that. And sometimes out of lack of understanding, people think, well, just be this way or that. Either be, you know, like, well, everything's a fight, or, you know, you're a marshmallow, soft and, you know, eaten up. So for the person who, in their attitude, they're just resisting the truth, the servant of the Lord, don't get in arguing. You're never going to argue someone in the kingdom. Be gentle, and that means don't be forceful towards them. Because there's a lot of people, if they sense you're pushing, they're automatically on the defensive, the walls up. Now, they're not going to hear anything you're saying. So gentleness is addressed there. He says, be apt to teach, or don't try to get into talking about things that you can't create understanding. There are times people want to ask a question, and I'll say, you know what, I don't know about that. But I'll tell you what I do know. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He did die for my sin. God did reveal his love. Let's deal with that. What are you going to do with Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is? And then I'll try to divert around from that. Don't let yourself feel you have to have an answer for everything, because you're not going to. Especially some of the kind of questions. If they can't think them up themselves, there'll be devils to help them. What about, you know, where did Adam's sons get their wives? You know, stuff like that. Where do devils come from? You know, people can get into all this stuff that, you know, it doesn't matter. God speaks clearly to us about the important things that does matter. Some things just let alone. Ask the Lord when you get to heaven. But he brings out here, be gentle, be apt to teach. Don't, in other words, don't try to talk about things you can't explain or share. And then he says here, patient. Patient. Now, the word patient or patience used in the New Testament can have a variety of some different applications. But I believe here it is, wait for the right time. That means get the duct tape out and put it on your mouth this time. Wait for the right time. Because many times you can feel like, man, I have to say this. I have to get this out to them. And especially if they're speaking ill of your Lord. You know, he's big boy. He can defend himself. He doesn't need us defending. But it can really agitate us. And the thing is, if we're actually going to help someone, one key part of it's waiting for the right time. Waiting for the right time, the right time, the right time. And it'll come. And really that's an approach relative to everybody we're around. Like sometimes people think evangelism's like kicking doors open and bulldozing your way in. That doesn't work. Some people might say, I'll say a prayer with you just to get rid of you. I got the only way I'm gonna get rid of this guy is I say this prayer with him. And they're not really saved. The right time. And this is so key for us. Wait, watch. It's like, say, you're on a job and there's people, and they know you're Christian. And you love just to say certain things at times. But it's wise to wait. Wait until that time where something's really working on their head. That time where they have fear pop up there and they say, hey, you know God. What do you think about this? Bingo, you pounce in. I mean, they crack a window open, you go in you head first. But you wait till that time. And I find that, like, we have in our street, there's certain people that live there for years, and there's those that there's some rental things around it's changing. And most everybody sort of keeps to themselves, pretty much. But my attitude's like, be friendly, but then wait for that right time. Wait for that time, and the door swings open. And we just come right in with whatever, you know, love of God or a truth or what have you. Wait. He says, in meekness instructing. Meekness is you're not exalting yourself. You're not talking down people. Well, let me tell you something. That's kind of that's implying like you know you're the great somebody, even though you do know the truth. But what they hear is, you think you're better than me, you're above me, and all the rest. So then again, the walls go up and they shut it down. So there has to be meekness. To help bring someone out of this, we can't be projecting ourselves like, well, I'm right, you're wrong, even though you are right and they are wrong. You can't project that because, again, it just throws the walls up. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. They have a disposition of thought or attitude that's resistant to the truth. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, they're going to have to turn, have a change of thinking, a change of mind to acknowledge the truth. That's the way out. That's the only way anyone's going to be free. They're going to have to allow their thinking to change from what they're exalting of themselves, their opinions and all this other stuff, to open their heart to the truth of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, bringing the fear of the Lord upon them to hear, to have ears to hear the truth. And it's in the exchange of our thoughts, giving up our thoughts for His, that's where all freedom comes from. So Jesus said in John 8, if you'll continue in my word, verse 31, you'll be my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Freedom only comes through the truth. Jesus is the truth. As we hear the truth of what He's done to defeat Satan, the truth of what He's done to bring the cleansing and forgiveness of sin, the truth of what He's done in His resurrection, as we hear that and embrace it, and that becomes now how we're looking at things, how we're thinking, how we're then speaking, then the deliverance and the freedom will come. Verse 26, they could recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, taken captive by him at his will. Recover themselves. It's in the change of thought. Change of their thinking. Because how it says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you're thinking, that's who you are, what you are, what your life's built on, and everything else. Now, this goes with what I was sharing last week about transformation. God wants us to become sons of God. And in spirit, there's neither male or female, so that speaks to ladies equally. To become sons of God, to become His family, His offspring, becoming like the image of God revealed in Jesus Christ. We are transformed to be like Him, to walk as a Christian is not abstract. It is concrete in that Jesus Christ was the example, the exact image of God. So as we're looking at the Word and what God speaks to us, our thinking begins to change. We have the repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and thereby we are delivered from evil, delivered from Satan's captivity. And what we want to learn to do is develop a habit. And we all have habits. You need to know what yours are. You have good habits, bad habits. Hopefully you all brush your teeth at night before you come in the morning. Hopefully you all, you know, wash your hands and la, 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 la. So hopefully we have some good habits there. But what you are today is the result of what you do habitually. Yesterday, the day before, the day before. If you want your future to change, your habits have to change. Well, that's only going to happen as your thinking is being changed, being renewed by the Word of God. And what we want to do is develop the habit that we look at everything through the eyes of the truth. What's the truth to that? The truth to this? The truth to this? So that's a little example. Someone does something to provoke you, you get angry. They do something hurtful, you have unforgiveness. What's the truth say about that? The truth is God commands you to forgive. It's not an option. Otherwise, you're cut off from the fruit of the Spirit. What's the truth say with anger? Well, the truth would be I need self-control. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to look to Him to help me grow and develop in self-control. What's the truth concerning, say you're worried about finances. What's the truth say to that? God still is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. That didn't change. Just because the company moved to Mexico, it doesn't change who God is. He still is all of that to you. So we look the habit of everything through the truth. And what happens then as we're doing that, Satan has no way to enslave you. He has no way to get his clutches onto you. And you're free. It's the truth that sets us free. Many times people develop habits of emotional reactions, a habit of worry. That's a common habit. And if there's nothing going on negative, you'll think of something to worry about. Well, I wonder if there's going to be an earthquake around here. Oh, well, I wonder if, you know, a drunk's going to head on me or something. There's no end to that. That's habitual. And we can worry about people. If you have a habit like worry, that needs to be changed by your thinking being changed and looking at those people in light of the truth concerning them, and thus leading you into praying for them, where we are bringing the ministry of the Holy Spirit into their life. We can worry about circumstance. We can worry about people. We can worry about anything. That's just one habit. So the habits, many people have habits of offense. And once you get into that, everything runs through this filter, the offense filter. Why are you looking at me like that for? You know, why did you say, you raised your eyebrow? Well, yeah, through an offense filter. And when a person has that habit, they will end up isolated and alone. Because eventually everyone's going to offend you, or at least you'll believe they are. And they're thinking, what did I do? I didn't do anything. So that's just, I'm just giving some examples, habits. We want this habit that we look at everything through the eyes of the truth. What's the truth to this? You know, and with that, we have a heart. We want to help people. So in order to help people come to the truth, we're going to have to handle ourselves a certain way. I can't get into arguing, being forceful. I have to wait for the opportunity, wait for the right time. You know, there's always a way in to somebody's soul. God knows what it is. We don't know. God knows. Many times people try the same approach. They try to ram themselves into someone's heart or into their life. God knows the opening. Many times, I'll just give you this to think about. Many times a person who wants to argue, they have no peace. They have no peace. They can't have peace. They're resisting God. They don't have peace. And the one thing you can say to them when you're going to just say, okay, the conversation's going to be over, I just want to say one thing to you. I have peace. Do you? A person who doesn't have peace cannot escape that thought. If they can observe you and see you're speaking the truth, you have peace. You didn't get agitated at them. You're not worried about anything. You have peace. Hold your hand out there. You know, you're not. You got peace. I have peace in my soul. You hear it in your voice, see it in your actions. But many times people, they're fighting, resisting. They don't have peace. And they think they're going to try and justify themselves before you with all this arguing. Just say, you know what, you have your point of view. That's fine. Mine's based on the Bible. I have peace, do you? Or there are those who have hatred in their heart. They say, I'm born of the Spirit of God, born of love. Love's in my heart. Maybe I don't always look that way, but love's in my heart. I love God, I love people. Do you have any of that? And the Holy Ghost will get mileage out of things like that. Be working on her head, working on her head. And he might bring it up. This peace you were talking about, this love you're talking about. And they actually start to think like you're preaching that to them all the time. It's just that you only said it once. Did you ever have that happen? You said something once, and someone says, you're always speaking this to me. It's like, I only said it once. See, they're confusing. The Holy Ghost keeps talking to them about it, and they think it's you, because they heard it come from your mouth the first time. But there is a way in. There's a way in. Sometimes you have to wait for a while to that right word at the right time. And it's something they can't get away from. God knows what it is. There could be some, they deal with guilt. They did something terrible, and it's always plaguing them. And it could be at the right time, that word. The Lord not only forgives us, but he cleanses us of our sin. That means he's the guilt. You don't have to have guilt. You'd be surprised how many people are tormented with guilt. So then they might get religious and do things to make themselves feel better, or they try to block it out. And that's why a lot of people drink a lot and things like that. They're trying to forget, trying to block out the pain of the guilt. God knows the way in. There is a way in to anyone. But we want to not be forceful, be patient, wait, listen, not come off condescending and meekness instruct them with the objective that word that they would need to hear, that truth could penetrate their hardened heart, that they can recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. There are some people you need to cut off in life. That's plain in Scripture. I've had plenty of people who've positioned themselves against me over the years. I mean, they have no greater joy than to see me dead or a fail. I don't have anything to do with those people. I don't think about them. They cut themselves off from me. It's not that I hate them or anything. It's just I can't do anything with them. They remove themselves, so okay. You're out. I find those that are in my life, it takes all that I have, staying focused, to be what I need to be to those who are in my life. So I'm not going to waste my time with someone whose objective is to tear me down or destroy me somehow. Now, and I'm just sort of summing here, repeating, that's not the same as people who just have issues with the truth. See, that's where we have to bear along. If you want to use the term walk in love, many times that's so generic to people, it loses its meaning. Bear with people, be patient, wait, watch, be gentle. I mean, you can't be phony. You can't compromise the truth. You can't do that. But keep waiting. And in that moment of time, having the truth that would penetrate them could be a question. I have peace. Do you have peace? That one thought, the Holy Spirit, just take that unto their deliverance and freedom. So anyway, I was excited this week seeing this in a word. Because I praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's clarity in handling these kind of situations, because we all end up with a lot of this stuff. How do I handle this? Well, there's some you would cut off, but there's some you just need to be patient with them. keep watching, waiting for that word in due season.